No, it doesn't. Even though they've installed those swimming pools.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Time for the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
All right. So Friday, obviously, the Holloman news broke, and everybody's reacted to that and had the weekend to think about it and everything. And obviously, you know, these kind of things have happened a lot in college football over the years, and if you're a fan of a show like Last Chance U, you see these guys go down to community college and, you know, try and rebuild and get another opportunity. With this happening, you know, relatively close to the season starting, what is Holloman's path going forward? Can he end up back at a Division I school next year, possibly?
Yeah, I mean, can he? Probably. He probably will. I mean, you talk about these guys' paths going to like JUCO and ending up at places like Last Chance U. Our guys end up at like Auburn, Tennessee. You know, how many of those, what Shaq Wiggins and Josh Harvey Clemens ended up at Louisville with Todd Grantham?
Yep.
So, I mean, we might have to be covering Jeremiah Holloman in a couple of, you know, within the next year or so. Who knows?
And I don't know, like, what with deadlines and stuff like that, because a lot of those guys, you know, got dismissed in like the spring or something like that, and they had a lot more time to figure that stuff out. Like you said, we're under 70 days until the season starts. I don't know if that's enough time to jump on with the JUCO. I imagine it would be. But had he not gotten kicked off the team, I mean, what would he have had to do this season to get himself drafted next year?
I think he
if he matched his numbers from last year, you think that would have been enough?
No, I mean, maybe he had like 24 catches. I mean, if he would have emerged as Georgia's number one receiver,
right?
Yeah.
So I mean, this was essentially, for all terms, a $1 million mistake. Yeah, most likely,
potentially for him, yeah, it was a big deal. And then you know you had a chance to catch passes from a quarterback as sharp as Fromm,
right?
That was in there too. You don't know where he ends up and what kind of quarterback they're going to have now. But here's the thing with Holloman. He caught 24 passes last year. Georgia targeted him 42 times. That's not like an elite catch rate.
That's true.
And, you know, knowing that we did have a good quarterback, I think it's, you could say, like, how many of the, you know, were those just passes that were off target, or was Holloman dropping passes?
Right.
Too many of them. Did the SEC ever put in a rule? Because when Alabama signed Jonathan Taylor after we kicked him out of school.
Right.
Did the SEC put in some sort of a policy about signing, you know, signing players that had been kicked out of schools in the league?
I feel like they did.
I feel like there was at least some discussion about it.
Maybe that, and it might be a case if you can't sign them directly after being kicked out. If he goes and plays a year of JUCO, he may be fair game for anybody. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
just a direct line of like, we just dismissed him, and then he, you know, can he immediately just get picked up by someone? I want to say there's now maybe.
Say, you'd have to be a coaching staff with some kind of shaky morals at this point to do that immediately.
Please. There's plenty of those out there.
There are plenty of those out there. I imagine he'll land with some JUCO, and, by the time 2020 rolls around, he very well could be on an opposing sideline. We don't know. I mean, obviously, he's a talented guy. Came in as a 4-star commit and, you know, was going to be the number one guy for Georgia this year. So he's going to get scooped up by somebody.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite at that talent level of a Tyrann Mathieu who can just completely skip a season and still get drafted.
No, not at all. No, he'd have to, because he's only played really one full season. Again,
right.
Even with him, he caught one pass in 2017 and then last year caught 24.
Right.
So,
but yeah,
you know, it's just to go back to, you know, reiterate the, I mean, as thin as Georgia's returning receiving core is, as far as the actual competition it's seen, with Simmons coming off a year where he's caught 9 passes, although Simmons is going to be a senior now, so he's got plenty of experience. And then you look at Trey Blunt, who caught 3 passes last year. I mean, that's it. That's 12 catches amongst two guys, you know, at wide receiver, returning from last year. But, you know, Georgia's the last 2 years, Riley Ridley caught 44 passes last year. He had caught 14 the year before. And we figured almost half of those came in the game against Bama.
Yeah.
You know, Javon Wims led the team in receiving in 2017. He had caught 16 passes in 2016. And Holloman, who didn't lead the team in receiving last year but did catch 24 passes, caught 1 the year before. So, you know, not having a heavy workload 1 year doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be able to step in and catch a lot of passes or be productive for an offense if need be. The next, George has been recruiting at a high enough level at all positions, including wide receiver, that it's possible. And even just to even just automatically write off because, well, it's freshman, it's a tough position to transition to. Well, I mean, Calvin Ridley didn't have a problem.
Right.
Now, Alabama sent Damari Cooper to the NFL. He caught 124 passes his last year in Tuscaloosa. And, whatever were they going to do that next season? Surely a true freshman couldn't have come in and had that big of an impact. No, Calvin Ridley did. He caught 89 passes, and they targeted him 126 times
right. As
a freshman. So with Pickens and with Blaylock and even with Tongue, maybe one of those guys will be ready to step into that game in 68 days against Vanderbilt and be Georgia's leading receiver, because they were at least two of them, with Blaylock and Pickens, were as highly touted coming out of high school as Calvin Ridley was.
Well, and does it make you feel better that we have, three games to start the season against lesser opponents before we get to the big game against Notre Dame to kind of figure some of these things out?
Sure, that's definitely helpful. Yeah.
Obviously Vanderbilt's an SEC team, and we've been stumped by them before, but they're certainly not on the same level.
Right. But even like with Demetrius Robertson, knowing that we've actually, he had a good freshman year at Cal, got banged up, ends up transferring here, didn't catch a pass last season. But that doesn't mean that he won't be. I mean, he certainly has the potential and the capability, because we've seen it before. And even knowing how highly thought of he was coming out of high school, Jeremiah Holloman had one catch and then he had 24 catches, that Demetrius Robertson couldn't emerge next year as a real force.
So you don't think we've seen the last of Holloman, though? Again, he's not going to be playing for Georgia anymore, but
right. He'll
be back somewhere.
He'll end
most
up
likely.
Somewhere, yeah.
Maybe he'll be on the next season of Last Chance U.
But he was about to be a junior, so, I don't know. I guess he'll probably end up going a JUCO route.
Right. And give him 1 year of eligibility left.
Yeah.
So, all right, moving on to 5-5, we'll jump over to baseball. One thing that's new for the Braves this year is Jeff Francoeur in the booth. How do you think he's done so far?
I like
you a fan?
Yeah, because it's I liked Joe Simpson too, and he's been on the radio broadcast now some.
They alternate
on the radio side, but I've heard
him. Was it Jim Powell and Ben Ingram?
Is Don Sutton gone?
I haven't heard him this year for the games that I've listened to, so I guess so.
Yeah, I haven't either. But I still hear them, like, on highlights that they'll play during the game sometimes.
I don't know.
But, yeah, Joe Simpson has been – I've heard him on some of the radio broadcasts, and I like him. When he's not being a curmudgeon,
about everything old school.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's just how he got on those TV broadcasts. And I thought it was time for a change there and to start bringing in some fresh meat, that it actually sounds like, they like baseball. Because
right.
Too many times, there's like the guy with the Pirates that was getting he was upset Ronald Acuna wore jewelry.
Yeah.
And, those kinds of guys. Whereas, like, Francoeur just recently played. I mean, there's probably still guys pitching in the league that he faced.
Oh, tons.
He's not that old.
Right.
No, I like him. I think he's done well.
And I like when they – I think it's only for home games to do this, when they have Glavin up there too and have the three-man booth, because he gives really good insight. But he's not quite on the level of, like, what John Smoltz gives when he does, I guess, the Fox broadcast now. But I think Glavin's pretty good too.
Yeah. I think Francoeur has done he's done great.
You can definitely tell he's green. He's getting used to it. He's still, a little shaky in some aspects, but I've enjoyed him in the booth as well.
Yeah. Well, I think he appreciates, and when Major League Baseball teams are now doing things like shifting, pretty much for every hitter now you see a shift. I mean, he can bring some perspective to it where it's not just like, back in my day, we didn't do things like that. And really, even with him back in his day, there wasn't really there was shifting, but it was only for like David Ortiz or Barry Bonds would get shifted. But now it's like, you watch a baseball game now and practically every hitter is getting shifted.
Well, and also, you know, obviously he came up with the Baby Braves of the mid-2000s. We're kind of seeing a similar thing now with a lot of young guys, and that's something that he can obviously resonate with and draw similarities from his own career. And I think that adds to, you know, what he brings to the booth as well.
Yeah, and, you know, as a guy, too, that kind of like Austin Riley came onto the scene. I mean, Fran Kaur got
off out of the box hot.
He ended up on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and then as we know it, I mean, it ended up flaming out for him. So, yeah, he can definitely bring some perspective for those young guys and, you know, what it's like to, you know, burst onto the scene and all of a sudden you've got all this hype and attention. Because I think that hurt Dansby, where the Braves got him, and then that first full season he was here, like they're, you know, the off-season promos. I mean, remember, a lot of it was centered around Swanson. And then he ended up, I mean, you kind of felt like, is he expendable or his day's numbered? And now that it's, you know, the attention is on Acuna and it's on, you know, suddenly Riley, and you realize that what the Braves have in Freddie Freeman is, you know, maybe the best hitter in the National League.
Right.
That
who still flies under the radar.
Yeah, really. But, you know, Swanson can now fly under the radar, and it's, I think maybe that's helped.
Well, I mean, as long as Swanson stays healthy, he's good. Those injuries nagged him for a while.
Yeah. But he was just at a point a couple years ago, it felt like every time he came to the plate, the count was 0-2.
Yeah.
You know, that's just...
It's a rough start.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a hard time hitting for a high average.
And I will say, it's also cool, you know, Frank Kaur and Brian McCann are obviously really good friends. And, you know, whenever McCann does something, just that level of excitement that... Obviously, Frank Kaur shows excitement for everything else, too, but that, like, extra level, like, watching his friend succeed, like, when he had the walk-off the other week and stuff like that, that's just kind of cool to me. He brings that to the booth as well.
Right.
So,
you know, if Frank Kaur wants to get back to, you know, back in my day, it's like, well, that at least is current times.
Right. That was only a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So.
Not, you know, God, when did Simpson play? How long ago was that?
I mean, it was, I guess, in the 60s.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Sticking with the Braves, and I said we talk about this. How many more times are we going to see Luke Jackson get trotted out there? I know we're coming up on the ability to maybe go out there and get somebody, but there's still a lot of games between now and then. And I'm tired of sweating every time he comes up in the ninth inning.
Well, you know, Brian Snitker is only the manager. He's not the GM. So Snitker as a manager can only play the hand that he's dealt. And right now, that's his closer. So until the Braves make a move and find a closer, he's Atlanta's closer. So we're going to continue to see him in situations where the Braves are looking, are in a quote-unquote save situation.
Well, as we've learned this season, there is no safe situation for the Braves, whether it's one run, five runs, eight runs. Luke Jackson will find a way. He almost found a way yesterday, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to look with, I think it's, has he's given up a run in seven consecutive appearances, hasn't he?
Sounds about right. Well, he's got six blown saves now.
It's not quite that bad.
Not that bad.
Well, no, he does have. Well, he's got five blown saves.
Okay.
But actually, I guess he's got six blown saves, and then one where he ended up getting a loss too. But
right.
Let's see. He's given up a run in. He didn't give up a run. Well, he's given up, let's see, 1, 2, 4. He's given up five runs in his last six appearances, but in only four of the games of those six is he allowed a run. So
I'll take things you don't want to see out of your closer for 500, Alex.
No. He doesn't need to be the closer, but he is until the Braves.
Yeah, they got nothing else.
Until the Braves make a move and do something.
And I certainly haven't heard any rumblings about anybody down in Gwinnett that's pitching lights out in a save situation either.
Well, and the thing with the Braves' bullpen is it slowly has gotten better, but some of the improvement has just had to do with, like, Sean Newcomb has filled that role nicely. And mm-hmm. I know Newcomb would rather be a starter, but the Braves don't need to make him a starter because he's been good out of the bullpen for them. And the Braves need to do not what's best for Newcomb, but what's best for the team.
Right.
Like, I like Johan Camargo, who had a big hit Saturday, and he mm-hmm. had the game-winning home run yesterday in extra innings.
Right.
That guy, it's not even a platoon for him. He's basically just a pinch hitter now.
Right, because the 1-8 is so good.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves have a lineup. The only thing that's a platoon is the catcher.
Yeah.
But the Braves lineup is the Braves lineup, so there's not really any room for Camargo to get in on a consistent basis. But I'm sure he'd rather be playing, you know, maybe not necessarily every day, but more than he is. But he's taken to the role. He's got a good attitude about it. He keeps coming up as a pinch hitter and coming up big.
I was going to say, it's good to always have a fresh guy on the bench that you can rely on in those situations.
Yeah. And I hope Newcomb is carrying that same attitude. I get it. He'd rather be a starter because, you know, you're a starter, you go to the bullpen, it's a demotion. But he's served the Braves much, much better now as a reliever than he did as a starter.
I was going to say, we got to stop having our pitchers get hurt and hit by baseballs because that's kind of been an epidemic.
That was frightening.
Yeah.
That ball hit off his head and then went all the way to the Phillies' dugout on the fly.
And how it didn't knock him out, I still don't know. Because the fact that he was still, like, up, I thought it maybe caught him on the shoulder. But that replay right into the back
of
the
head.
Right
in the back of the head.
It's amazing.
And then he, but apparently he's going to be back tomorrow.
Right.
So, but, like, I would ask the Braves at current, like, who on the team would you rather have close?
Not Luke Jackson, obviously.
But, okay, not Luke Jackson, but then if the Braves put, say, if they made Anthony Swarzak the closer, would you feel any better about that?
Not substantially. Maybe a little bit.
All right.
I don't know. Luke Jackson's just kind of the overarching so bad. You're not on Twitter, but he's become a meme, as you'd imagine he would be.
Right. Well, and listen, to me it's like he's not a closer. It's not – he's fulfilling the role that the team is putting him in right now, but it's just not his thing, so I don't blame him that much.
Well, it's nothing is helping his confidence, that's for sure.
No, but he's has Swarzak – Swarzak's only given up a run since he's come to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So he has been good. But, again, I would say – If the Braves, he's given up one run in 15 2/3 innings. But
that's better than I thought.
I guarantee, though, if all of a sudden he was in a position where he had to hold a one run lead in the ninth inning, he couldn't do it.
Right.
Because that's, you know, it's more than just being a skilled pitcher. You know, it's
mental.
Yeah, it's mental too.
Well, Luke
Jackson, you got to shut it down.
I was going to say, Luke Jackson is not succeeding in that.
The Braves have to make a move there next month.
Yeah.
Because they're going to end up in the playoffs again. Because the NL East right now, that's hot garbage behind them.
Right.
And I think the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Mets are on the verge of firing their managers.
So, but when you get to the playoffs, Dodgers are a buzzsaw.
The Braves ain't beating the Dodgers in a 7-game series with Luke Jackson as its closer.
No, not at all. Did you hear what the Dodgers did over the weekend?
No.
3 consecutive walk-off home runs by rookies.
Wow.
They're playing the Rockies.
Well, see, they're good and they're lucky.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing. The guy that hit one yesterday, his name was Will Smith.
Oh, there you go.
Playing for a California team. That writes itself.
Yeah.
A couple more real quick. Tonight is the NBA award ceremony, and the fact that we go from the finals to the draft to the award ceremony still doesn't make sense to me.
Well, because the season starts again in a month.
I know.
You got to get to summer league.
Right, and free agency still hasn't started yet. It's
no.
Ridiculous. But the finals MVP is going to basically come down to Giannis or James Harden. Who's it going to be?
It should be Giannis, but I bet it's going to be Harden.
Because it's only judged off the regular season, right? They don't count playoffs.
Yeah.
Because like the votes have already been cast months ago after the regular season ended.
But the Bucks did end up with the best record in the NBA, right?
I think so,
it
yeah.
Should be, yeah, because they would have hosted. It should be Giannis. I'm going to say it is going to be Giannis because it should be and it will be.
Yeah. Well, I also had like a small fraction that Paul George could possibly win it, but
yeah.
He was a long shot.
Yeah.
So,
because it's like there's 3 in each category, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know Trae Young is up for Rookie of the Year, but Doncic is going to win that.
The guy that was a Hawk but wasn't a Hawk at the same time. And that's another thing that's weird about the NBA, what they do with the draft thing. Like, you know that guy's not going to a team like Hunter with the Lakers, but he still puts the hat on. I assume he went to L.A. and is just waiting there until, what, July 1st when he can actually come to Atlanta?
Well, I mean, I guess he's... When does the summer league start?
I don't know. I think because was it free agency has to open before those proposed right. trades come into effect.
Yeah.
So, and like everybody knows he's going to be a Hawk, but like I guess he's just out in LA chilling.
I would think that you could probably, although I guess, yeah, Atlanta hasn't been able to officially introduce him, because they did Reddish.
Yeah.
But they haven't.
Right. You can't, and didn't they trade up for the other guy in the second round too?
So Fernando.
Reddish is the only guy from the draft that's actually in Atlanta and been introduced as a Hawk. But we have these two other guys that we know are going to be Hawks. We just can't do anything with them yet.
You got to assume behind the scenes, like they're still like with the team right now.
I guess. Still, you can't do anything publicly, which is just weird.
No, I know.
Like, you know that guy's going to be on your team, but he put on a Lakers hat. He gets interviewed like he's going to be a Laker. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Hope he doesn't decide, like, hey, you know what? I'd rather be a Laker.
I don't know. The NBA does so many weird things, especially with how they schedule all this stuff.
I know the finals end. The draft is right behind it.
Yeah.
Now you've got this awards thing.
And free agency, you know, sometimes is more interesting than the season itself. I think you were mentioning they were talking about, you know, in the middle of this great month that the Warriors were having, where Durant was going to be next season. Well, it's like, no, let's see what they're going to do this season first before we start talking about next year.
Well, I mean, we're already there with these trades and free agency and stuff.
Yeah.
It's where, you know, it's even fast forward into, like, who's going to join the Lakers and LeBron, and then where is Anthony Davis going to end up, and we're still wondering what's going to do with Durant.
And people are following Kawhi Leonard to Home Depot because he's getting cardboard boxes. And that tells the whole story, apparently.
Oh, he's packing?
Right.
Yeah. Well, he was at the Blue Jays game the other day.
Yeah. He's got it made in Toronto. Why would he want to leave?
Oh, he's an all-time hero there. Yeah.
Like,
he wants to go to the Clippers? Clippers are like the worst professional sports franchise of all time.
There's going
to
be a statue in Jurassic Park of Kawhi Leonard in the very near future.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the Clippers are the worst franchise ever.
Yeah.
In any sport, the Clippers.
Well, I mean, you just know being a baby brother to the Lakers is bad enough.
Yeah. I'm convinced the only reason they even exist is so that the star players from the Eastern Conference actually have to visit L.A. twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like, you had LeBron playing in the East, and, like, the Clippers were, well, he has to come to L.A. play two games.
Gonna make money off of that.
Yeah. So... All right, there's today's 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.